Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm so excited to have Haley Thomas joining us as today's guest. Haley is an international speaker, wellness and compassion activist, vegan food and lifestyle content creator, and the founder slash CEO of the nonprofit HAPPY, Healthy, Active, Positive, Purposeful Youth. Impacting over 89,000 people, Haley founded HAPPY when she was 12 years old to redefine youth empowerment through holistic education and address the need for free and affordable plant-based nutrition and wellness education in underserved and at-risk communities. In addition to being the youngest to graduate from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition as a certified integrative nutrition health coach at age 16, Haley has worked with prominent brands such as Williams-Sonoma, Nike, Bank of America, Vitamix, United Airlines, and Audible. Haley, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Of course. I'd love if you could share with our listeners what you do and what you did to lead you here.
Yeah. So basically, you know, in short of kind of the introduction that you gave, I've been advocating for health and wellness for about 10 years now. And really, that journey all began in 2009 when my dad was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and my family and I were able to completely reverse his condition without the use of medication, just changing our lifestyle and eating habits. And so through that experience, I started to learn so much about food and nutrition and reading food labels and understanding, you know, factory farming and how food grows and all those things. And having that awareness really empowered me to look at, you know, the ways that I nourish myself as a way that I could start being a leader in my life. And then I started to notice really the connection between not only, you know, what I was eating, but also our general health and well-being, our collective health and well-being. And so that's when I really just decided that I wanted to start spreading this information that I was learning at home and through my dad's, you know, diabetes reversal, that I wanted to really find a way to have my peers learn about this information, because I felt like it was, you know, essential. And I still feel this way, that it's so essential for us to be aware of how what we put into our bodies impacts us, you know, for better or worse. And through that, how we can be empowered to truly feel our potential and activate our power based on just how we nourish our bodies and engage in, you know, wellness of other forms as well. So that's kind of everything in a nutshell and how I got started and really what motivated me, and the rest is history, basically.
I love it, especially with the fact that you used a personal situation or experience, like with your dad getting diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, to really create this entire movement and share this really helpful information with peers and other young individuals so that way they can make better decisions moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, you know, a movement within each of our stories and experiences in many ways. I think it's just tapping into vulnerability and connecting with community in order to share, you know, the things that we learn on our individual paths or with our families in order to connect to others. Because when I started really sharing my story with my dad, I quickly realized how common, you know, the experience was of, you know, dealing with a loved one who has, you know, an illness or is diagnosed with something, and that feeling of panic or fear and not knowing what to do. And so being able to connect with, you know, not only young people who have relatives who are facing health issues or young people who face health issues themselves, but also, you know, their parents and older generations. So it's been a really beautiful thing to just see, you know, through my life and of course through the lives of others, just how our stories are truly points of connection. They're entry points for learning and for growth and for movements. And I think that's really, really cool.
100%. I absolutely agree with everything you just said and love how you just worded it so perfectly. And so since that experience really led you into founding your nonprofit, Happy, what was that experience like?
Well, I was 12 when I founded Happy with my mom. And I think what's been really great about the experience and just in starting it to begin with was kind of the feeling of not really being familiar with that landscape. Like, of course, I was 12. I had no idea like what it took to start a nonprofit, but to feel very supported, not only by like our community, but also just by my parents in learning together and figuring it out together was a really great thing. And so just kind of starting the nonprofit with a mindset of like, we don't know what we're doing, but that doesn't mean that, you know, this is not going to be successful, but rather that means that we can explore and try things out and learn new things. I think that really shaped just the experience overall and my willingness to just jump into it, because I never once thought like, oh, like what if this fails, or, you know, what if we don't get any funding? Like, those were just not my thoughts at all. I was really focused on the impact and the, you know, finding opportunities to get to work in certain communities or get to know, you know, different students at the schools that we would run programs in. And so just really starting out, we had a very open and adventurous energy. And I think that's what's really helped us kind of develop over time in a really authentic way that's felt very much intentional and purpose-filled. You know, we haven't really 100% focused on the things you would think you would focus on as much, like I said, funding and everything. We just kind of lead with the intention, and it feels as though everything else kind of falls into place, and we're just super open to learning and growing always. And I think that theme has really stayed consistent throughout these past, you know, 7 going on 8 years now of running Happy.
Absolutely. And when you were starting Happy, did you find that it was something that really just kind of took off? Because I mean, I love what you mentioned with the fact that every experience we have has a movement. And so that was kind of really, your dad was played a big role in being able to find that. So because of that, did you find that Happy really just kind of grew really quickly from there? Or was it kind of like a gradual, more slower process?
I think that everything in my path, either, you know, we're talking about Happy or just, you know, the other things that I do, like speaking and, you know, working with different brands and everything, I feel like it's really unfolded very organically. And that's been nice because it's kind of had this great pace and just natural progression. And so I've really appreciated that in building up Happy. Like, we definitely had our first, I would say, like 3 or 4 years of just learning, learning from the communities we're working with, learning from our, at the time we had a fiscal sponsor kind of guiding us down, you know, the path of like actually becoming a 501c3 and, you know, an official nonprofit. And so we just spent a lot of time really observing, learning, experimenting, and eventually, I think just through that, you know, connections start to build and we start to really create our you know, community of people who are taking our programs or our community partners, all those things. So it's been really nice to just not really rush anything and just accept the journey and how it unfolds naturally. And so we've just been really focused on, again, like what our purpose is of doing this work and how we can creatively, you know, bring that to life. And through that, I think it's been able to really progress in a way that has been super fun, but also challenging in many ways, and has just taught us a lot about community service in general and running, you know, a nonprofit.
So, yeah, most definitely. And so where you are with Happy now, would you say that it's kind of stayed the same from where your vision was 7 or 8 years ago, or has it really changed over those past few years?
I think that the vision has more so, rather than change, it's just expanded. When we started, it was very much focused on, you know, just food and nutrition and physical activity. But now these past 2 years, we've really been expanding our programming into more holistic wellness. So including things like self-care and mental health, and even, you know, activating your own passions and making an impact in your community. So really just kind of speaking to all elements of our acronym, tapping into that positive, purposeful aspect, especially these past 2 years. And even during quarantine, we've been doing some online self-care summer camps, which have been so much fun. And, you know, our real first time kind of testing out this curriculum and seeing how kids react to, you know, information on emotional tools and writing affirmations and creating healthy mindsets. And that's been really fun to just see their response to that and how they've applied it to their lives as well. So we definitely have just been in this period of really expanding our definition of wellness and the ways that we teach wellness to young people.
I love that, especially because wellness, I mean, what you really just kind of described is that wellness isn't exactly the food that you eat. I mean, it's so much more, focusing on the mental and emotional aspect of it as well. So I think it's really important and really great work that you're doing, that you're providing different resources and tips and basically helpful things that people can do relating to all of those aspects.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's been really helpful to kind of look at the food and nutrition side is the foundation. You know, that's what fuels our life force and our energy and allows us to show up in life, you know, with vitality and all of those things. But, you know, end of the day, it's definitely not the end all be all, and you can eat, you know, as healthy as you want. But if your mindset or, you know, your emotions are out of whack or unbalanced, you know, they're definitely not experiencing well-being. So really just highlighting that and having kids understand that is a really exciting thing, because I always think about just how incredible our future is going to be, having, you know, my generation and even, you know, the generation to come, having those generations already be so aware of themselves and aware of the processes that everyone's going through as human beings is a huge shift, because I think it'll just shape how we all interact with each other and the things that we prioritize in our world. So if we understand that, you know, vulnerability is, you know, a power and not a weakness, or we understand that, you know, engaging in our creativity is something that needs to be center stage in our world rather than, you know, going to a 9-to-5 that you hate or doing something that doesn't fulfill you, I think we're just going to start demanding really to build a world that allows us all to thrive in so many different ways. And that's just super exciting to me. So yeah, it's really cool to see that these kids won't have to, you know, unlearn any negative patterns. They'll already kind of have this toolkit that they can refer to. And, you know, that's of course through our work, but also through the work that's just emerging on a broader scale. So it's really, really exciting to know that this is like happening and that this awareness is here and so young for so many kids.
Yeah, and it's something extremely powerful to experience and witness.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Haley, since you started your nonprofit when you were 12, what was the most difficult part of actually starting it that young?
I think the most difficult part, at least for me, and luckily, you know, we've been able to have support and guidance in this area, is just like figuring out like fundraising and all the things that, you know, come with it that I necessarily never really focused on, like the money aspect of it. I'm always very much like action oriented. I just want to do stuff. And so kind of figuring out like budgeting and applying for grants and, you know, building corporate partnerships and all those things. It was definitely just something new to explore it and get to, you know, understand how to navigate. So I wouldn't say it was like super hard, but I think it was just a really new space. And, you know, it took us a few years to kind of get our footing and be able to understand exactly what we needed to operate and, you know, what partnerships we could cultivate in, you know, in the long term. So yeah, all of those things are definitely just like a learning curve to kind of apply a strategy to your, you know, your intention and your bigger vision. So that was definitely something new that I had to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And since you started this when you were in probably sixth or seventh grade, what was that like starting a nonprofit at that age and during that time frame, while also kind of dealing with everything as like a preteen, early teen?
Yeah, I mean, by the time I was in sixth or seventh grade, you know, I had been doing advocacy work for a few years at that point. But I mean, it was definitely really stressful, but I like met, you know, juggling tests and, you know, homework that I would miss and you know, in addition to Happy, I was doing a lot of traveling, like speaking and everything. So I definitely did experience just a lot of kind of stress and pressure and a moment of really kind of feeling like I needed to be two different people, like in terms of, you know, being this more professional, quote unquote, professional person, you know, out in the world with speaking or teaching, and then, you know, going to school and being, you know, whatever normal means. And I think that a lot of that came from just like me not wanting to seem like the things that I did outside of school, you know, could overshadow what other kids were doing. And I would get a lot of comments in school of people just like, you know, over highlighting what I did and just always kind of making a big thing out of it. And so in many ways that kind of made me feel bad for just being myself and doing these things. And so I would kind of go through these phases of shrinking myself in a lot of ways and downplaying the things that I was doing. And just because I didn't want people to like feel bad or jealous or anything like that. And like I said, there were many instances in which, you know, classmates would do stuff like that, Googling me, just weird things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely uncomfortable for me. Like, I'm not the most extroverted person. I would say, I guess, like, I'm an ambivert, I think is what they call it. But, you know, I definitely, the overemphasis on all of that just started to kind of make me feel uncomfortable. And I went through this time where I just felt like I needed to, like, say less and just keep it on the low, like at school, and then having to juggle like these two different sides of me when I'm doing my work out in the world and then when I'm back at school was a very weird time. But you know, I'm grateful for what I learned from it, because overall I've just been able to get to this place of just embracing all of, you know, who I am. And I think in doing so, I just hope to be an example for others to also embrace themselves in their fullness regardless of what others think, because it was definitely taking a toll on me in so many different ways. And I'm really happy I've gotten past that for sure.
Yeah. And I can totally relate to that too. I mean, even though when I was 19, when I started my company, I was feeling those same thoughts. Like I wasn't embarrassed that I was a business owner, but it was like, I just felt weird for some reason saying that I was a business owner, because I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with like ageism and people being like, do you really like own a business and stuff like that? And just not feeling like I fit in. So I would tend to shy away from talking about what I did and whatnot. And same as you, I mean, just downplaying things that were happening. And so it can be really hard to get past that and move forward and realize, like, almost step in your power and realize like everything that you're doing and understand that it's things that you do need to be sharing with the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was a process for sure, a necessary process to kind of go through all of that, despite how uncomfortable it was and, you know, the internal battle that would come up through that. But like you said, I think it's just so interesting how moments like that can really, you know, make us diminish our own accomplishments and not even give ourselves enough credit where credit is due. And I've really been spending, you know, my latter teenage years really just becoming my biggest supporter and not shying away from just expressing myself to the fullest, regardless of the circumstance, because I'm, you know, here to be myself fully. And so, you know, if others are uncomfortable with it, I think it's been helpful for me to just know that that's not really my problem. So, and again, to really understand that some may have a problem with it, but others may see, you know, my life or your life as an example of how they can live their lives more authentically or more fully or truthfully, whatever it may be. So just kind of knowing that in the back of my head, I'm really happy to be in this place where I feel I can be myself regardless of, you know, what environment that I'm in.
Absolutely. And on the opposite end of the difficulty of starting your business, what was the most rewarding?
I think the most rewarding thing of, you know, starting Happy has just been seeing the reactions that we get from kids learning about all of this information. I mean, we've had so many just awesome interactions of whether it's something small, like, you know, doing a smoothie demo and like hearing kids ask their parents for blenders for Christmas, or getting letters from families saying they've been able to, you know, reverse their husband's type 2 diabetes or their grandmother or whatever, whoever it may be. And then also just having kids seeing that light bulb will go off when they connect, you know, the information that they learned to their own lives. One of my favorite encounters from last year happened when we were doing like a Sugar Shockers presentation, which is basically where we have different products like on a table and we're talking about the food label and have the kids guess how many teaspoons of sugar are in each of the products. And so we were just doing that. And at the end, we had a Q&A, and basically this kid, he had to be like 8 years old. He was like, so he raised his hand and was asking, you know, a question, and he was like, oh, so, you know, all these companies put these chemicals and food coloring into our food. Like, can we sue these companies for trying to poison us? And I was like, what? You were literally eight. And it was so amazing. And then I still can't believe this happened, but then like in unison, all of the kids started chanting like, sue the company, sue the company. And so I think that was just such a perfect capture of what, you know, our generation's all about, and really just how empowered kids are when they have this information at their disposal and they understand how it connects to themselves and also connects to, you know, the collective, their friends, their family, their classmates, all of that. So it was really cool to see. And after our presentation, I heard from teachers saying that they were like throwing away, you know, Pop-Tarts and Hot Pockets at lunch. It was really funny. So it's cool to see that immediate impact, but also, you know, long-term effects as well.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I love about the work that you're doing with Happy, is that both of what we do with Student to CEO and Happy for You is that we focus on younger generations, because what you had mentioned earlier, I mean, it's these younger individuals who have all the power at their hands to really make a change in the world. And so I think it's really impactful to be able to connect with these young individuals and actually speak with them and see those changes immediately occur.
Yeah. It's pretty unbelievable just how instantaneous it is. You know, when they're learning about something, they immediately think, oh, like this could help my mom, or, you know, I love this thing, but now that I understand what's in it, I'm not going to make that choice anymore. Or I'm going to encourage my parent to, you know, shop for this instead, or, you know, make your own thing. And so it's very cool to just see that instant kind of tangible action that they take, or just those connections that they make.
Absolutely. And what do you think led to your success with not only Happy, but everything else that you're doing?
I think that overall, I've been very much, you know, supported by my family and by really just amazing people who have believed in me. And that's, you know, a huge part of why all of this has been possible. Just being, you know, instilled with the belief that, you know, anything that I want to do and engage with, like, I'm going to be supported in that. And also, you know, knowing that my voice is valuable and my opinion matters, all of those things have shaped how I show up in the world and how I was able to feel comfortable doing so at such a young age. Like, you know, when I was 7, 8 years old, like, I was having full conversations with my parents about, you know, what's going on in the world and listening to their opinions. And even when they would have friends over, like, they didn't tell me to, you know, go play with or something. Like, I could listen to their conversations and be involved as well if I had an opinion. And so just being invited to the table and to have my voice valued in that way, just from, you know, an internal perspective and through how I was raised, I think that definitely influenced my external, you know, comfort in doing so and just stepping into kind of this unknown space. And, you know, for so long, things are just developing in a way that, you know, I definitely hadn't anticipated. And even, you know, to this day, I'm very much open to how all of this will just naturally progress. But I think, just having those belief systems, you know, ingrained in me, and also really learning how to just be comfortable with being more vulnerable and, again, you know, fully myself through all the different challenges and obstacles that I faced. I'm just realizing more and more that that is really, you know, a part of my strength is just speaking my truth and speaking to the truths that we all experience but may be afraid to, you know, talk about or to, you know, dive into, either, you know, whether that's individually or collectively, whatever it may be. I've just been really happy to see others feel, you know, more comfortable within themselves just through being, you know, in my community online or through our programs, whatever it may be. So yeah, I think those things have definitely just contributed to how others resonate with me and my work.
Yes. And I especially love that you mentioned vulnerability, because that is a huge thing that helps to build that know, like, and trust factor with your audience. When you're able to, as you said it, speak your truth and talk about the experiences that you have and stuff like that. And that was something that I noticed within my business, is that a big reason why I started my company at 19 is because my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer. And so I realized that life is short and the best time to follow your dreams is now. And so once I kind of started talking about that, because I of course got a lot of like pushback for starting a company so young, but once I shared that, I didn't realize how many people would actually step up and support me from there. But it's true, people really feel like they resonate with you, and being able to talk about stories and experiences and moments and stuff like that can really help you to resonate with such a large group of people, and it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we definitely see ourselves in every single person in some capacity. So I think that's what makes our stories so powerful, is because our stories are the stories of others too. And in us sharing that, sharing our perspective, sharing our experience, it's like we're unlocking, you know, the ability for others to do the same. So I think it's a really beautiful thing, and so amazing that you've been able to do that as well. Like, we need more of that. We need more of that emotion, vulnerability in business, because that's the truth of who we are at the end of the day. And I think blocking that out for the sake of being whatever, you know, professional means, is not really, I don't think it's not really productive at the end of the day, and is not going to build bonds and community and support as much as just being, you know, a human doing this thing, versus, you know, I'm a XYZ and these are all my titles and this is what I'm presenting to you. Rather, just like being who you are and acknowledging that you're passionate about this thing, you started this project, but just, you know, relating yourself back to where you started and also the ways that you connect with, you know, your audience. So I just think really humanizing the entrepreneurial space is so important. I've definitely had a lot of just disdain with kind of the direction in which like entrepreneurship is marketed sometimes. You know, I'll see posts about like, oh, you know, there's only, oh my gosh, there was one post that made me so mad. It was saying like there's only 2 seats in a Lamborghini or something for a reason. And, you know, and it had something to do about like bus seats. It was comparing like bus seats to 2 seats in Lamborghini, and then, you know, promote, like asking people, you know, grind and hustle and all of those things. And it's just very, I don't know, I find that to be very toxic. I think it's important, of course, to be committed and focused on, you know, whatever you're trying to put out into the world. But hustle and grind culture can lead to burnout and a lot of, you know, mental health challenges and a lot of pressure that you put onto yourself, or internalized pressure from, you know, the exteriors, like other people and other circumstances. So yeah, it's really great to just see this whole industry change and the messaging change as well.
I know. And I'm so glad that you brought up the hustle culture, because that is one thing that seems to have been trending for the past few years for whatever reason. And just the fact that in order to be successful, you have to work nonstop and just grind and all of this stuff. And I mean, I think a part of me does think that to get where you want to be, a little bit of hustle is necessary. I mean, from my own experience, I know that I definitely had to hustle, because of the fact that I was just starting my sophomore year of college and I had so many other things going on. So I did kind of need to spend every spare moment working on my business. But once I graduated and transitioned full time, that's when I was like, okay, I'm no longer hustling. I'm really like setting that boundary. And so it's definitely a fine line, but you're absolutely right. Like that hustle culture and feeding into it and working nonstop and having that mentality is not good in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of fuel that can burn out really quickly. And at least from my perspective, I think that through, because I definitely have perfectionistic tendencies sometimes when I kind of get caught up in that and in trying to just like finish this thing or, you know, get something out. And like you said, just feeling like you have to push if you're in, you know, a situation where you're juggling a bunch of things. But I started to realize that in internalizing that hustle, you know, mentality and messaging, I was really basing my worth off of, you know, my productivity. And if I rested or, you know, didn't do something, you know, for one day, I would feel so uncomfortable and like I was like doing something bad. And I think that's really not okay. And I am really happy to be just see like, you know, resting and taking care of yourself and, you know, not making your entire identity surrounded by your career. I love seeing that because I think this over-identification with productivity and all of those things, you know, play into a lot of just toxic systems that we have in place. It's very much, you know, internalized capitalism and
seriously,
in so many ways, you know, those things just aren't working for us. And I was actually reading an article about that and how just how capitalism has really taken a toll on everyone's mental health in many ways where we're just constantly working to survive and there's no breathing room for self-care and everything. And I mean, that's a big reason why I love entrepreneurship, because you're able to have more flexibility with, you know, your working schedule and weaving in, you know, practices that can keep you mindful and keep you grounded and everything. But I think still those things can creep into entrepreneurship as well. So it's just important to be aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And if there was one thing you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
I think I actually don't wish I knew anything extra or, you know, any, I don't think there's anything I would have done differently. I think that everything, all of the challenges and hard moments were so necessary for me. And, you know, my nonprofit, it's just, yeah, I just think to have that additional knowledge at the time, I don't know if it would have 100% worked, because I think we all kind of get to this place where certain things just, you know, either connect or don't connect with us depending on where we're at in our lives. And so I think a lot of the stuff that I know now might not have resonated with me then, just because I hadn't had, you know, enough experiences or you know, perspective on myself and, you know, on life in general. So I don't think there's really any information that I could give myself that I know now that would ultimately be helpful, because I had to go through those challenges and growth moments in order to be even able to understand the things that I do now, if that makes sense. So
yeah. I think that's great advice. And I mean, it's so true, because oftentimes where our businesses or organizations are years down the line is pretty different from where they were when we started. And that's just because, exactly as you said, we go through these different experiences and situations that bring us closer to where we're meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely believe that, you know, that where we are right now is perfect, you know, despite, you know, any obstacles or imperfections that we might, you know, be facing internally or within whatever we're trying to build. Like, all of it we can learn and grow from, and I think it's important to just kind of have acceptance of where we're at and understand that, you know, if we look at the situations that we're facing kind of as an observer, we'll be able to find ways to learn and grow from it.
Most definitely. And why do you think it's so important for individuals to start businesses at a young age specifically?
I think that it's important to start a business at whatever age you feel like called to start a business. You know, I think starting a business as a young person is is a great thing because, of course, you know, you're kind of getting a head start in your awareness of, you know, how whatever, you know, industry you're in works, and you're able to, you know, learn and grow from different people and everything. But at the same time, I feel like whenever you feel that idea come to you, or whenever you have that feeling that you need to start something, or you want to, or there's this vision that you've had for so long and you don't want to wait on it any longer, like no matter what age you are, I think it's great to just dive into it and to just be open to learning from so many different sources. I mean, it's incredible the amount of knowledge that we have access to right now. I mean, through either podcasts or online courses or, you know, YouTube videos, like there are so many different ways to learn and to be exposed to all of, you know, entrepreneurship and the many different sectors of it. So I think, yeah, just go for it. Why not? Like, I think it's been helpful for me to take life seriously, but not that seriously, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you only have right now, as you were kind of talking about earlier with how you started your business. So why not jump into it? Like, all things come with their challenges and their downsides sometimes, but that, you know, shouldn't prevent us from exploring it and finding out, you know, what it's like with all aspects of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful and amazing. So yeah, I think just anytime you feel like, even if you're a little nervous, just jump into it, because why not?
Right. And exactly what you said is really reminding me of what I usually say, is that if you're even thinking of taking a leap, that's an indication that you should 100% take that leap, especially because there's no matter what we want to do, there's always going to be some excuse that we can tell ourselves to stop ourselves from moving forward. So might as well just do it.
Yes, absolutely.
Most definitely. And Haley, you've shared such great advice just talking about your story and your experience and all of the amazing work that you've been doing. And now I'd love to ask you if there's one last piece of advice you can share with our listeners for someone who may just be starting out, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. I think the best advice that I could give is to not box yourself into following blueprints that you've seen before. One thing that I've really appreciated about my journey and even, you know, starting so young, is that there weren't really any examples, many examples or any examples of, you know, kids doing what I was doing specifically, like in the food space and all of that. And in a way, having the freedom to just kind of craft my own path and to learn as I go and really just have that adventurous spirit to everything and not kind of project this expectation of what my journey is supposed to look like or how I'm supposed to present myself, or, you know, how I'm supposed to go about doing this work. I think that was really an incredible advantage. It was just being free from this blueprint. And I think now today, you know, of course we have so many more examples out there of, you know, entrepreneurs and activists and speakers and all the things, and those people, you know, being young and everything. And so I think in a way, if we free ourselves from these examples and just really tap into our why and our truth and all the things that we feel we need to share with others and kind of stay focused on that, I think everything just unfolds in a way that's so much more perfect for, you know, whatever you may want to create. I've definitely struggled with like following business strategies and, you know, growth strategies, all of those things, especially like in regards to social media and, you know, all those types of things, because I just feel like it's important for us to sometimes listen to ourselves as well and be able to guide ourselves into the unknown rather than constantly trying to like copy paste what other people are doing. So yeah, just kind of give yourself some freedoms and flexibility to just explore and learn and bring yourself into it, put that unique, you know, print onto everything that you do, that, you know, can only be produced by you. So really just embracing that authenticity and allowing yourself to kind of create your path as you go rather than trying to emulate, you know, what someone else has done.
Right. Especially because just because a strategy works for someone else doesn't mean that it will work for you. So being right. able to have that flexibility, as you said, and the freedom to choose what you want to do can end up working out so much better for you.
Yeah, for sure. And it just feels better too. You know, you're not as stressed, because I just noticed every single time I, you know, tried to, at least again, and this is more so in regards to social media, which is a big piece of, you know, entrepreneurship and advocacy. Anytime I tried to like do a growth strategy or even like color coordinate my feed and plan posts like 3 weeks in advance, I just felt so disconnected from the work that I was doing. It really tapped my creativity because it was so present focused. And I mean, it was so future focused and not focused on the present. And so I've really been kind of breaking down all of those things that, you know, we kind of are expected to follow in order to grow a following, you know, quote unquote, grow a following or be successful in social media, and just do my own thing and see how that resonates with people. And I think that has been a really just freeing thing, is just to, you know, try whatever works for me.
Absolutely. Haley, this has been such an amazing episode. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah. You can find me on HaleyVThomas.com, my website, and that has more information on my work and links to my nonprofit Happy, as well as some info on my new book. And I'm super excited about it. And you can learn more about Living Lively there. And then also, if you want to learn more about Happy, you can visit thehappyorg.org. And on social media, we're at thehappyorg and I'm at Haley Thomas.
Awesome. And I'll put all of those links in the show notes too, so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being a guest, Haley.
Yes, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.